Okay, good morning. I would like to thank the organizers for the invitation and everybody here for coming in again this Sunday morning. So what I'm going to talk about today is it's about some problems in the sector of operational risk, nothing really new, so just the open problems or the challenges here. And then in my second, the second part of my talk, then I will mention some of the research we are doing about the use of asymptotic methods to compute these risk measures. Okay? So this is the overview of my talk. I will focus on the loss distribution approach, which is the one of the most popular techniques used in the operational risk field, and also how to measure losses. I will discuss some of the operational risk models, then how to model severity, aggregated losses, and how to model dependence, and finally, I will discuss some asymptotic methods using not only in operational risk but in the large credit performance. Okay, so that's the plan for 30 minutes. So, the first question is, of course, what is operational risk? And according to Basel II, we have this, that this result in a very wide definition of this kind of risk. So we are talking here about internal and external events and the processes, people, and the systems. So it's a very wide concept, and of course it doesn't include market or credit risk. It includes, for example, legal risks and so on. So, for example, what kind of event we are talking about here? Well, these are examples of some of these events that operational risk managers are dealing with. You know, this is a very well problem in the fraud in the Société Générale in France in 2008. So that resulted in losses, 4.9 billion of losses in euros. And well, we have all the famous cases, the WorldCom, the Enron case, practice in the Bank of America. This is a textbook example, the Bering case, where a trader hid losses for more than 1 billion pounds. And then the bank got ruined by that because of that. So the, which by the way, this guy is back. So he recovered his trading license 2 years ago, and he's trading now. Okay. Well, so this is this kind of event is, for example, some of the cases that we want to model, and we want to estimate what is the risk of them. For example, in another type of problems we can face, we have transaction errors, and as simple as, for example, writing the 300 million instead of 3 million in the book, or changes instead of writing the price per unit, just writing the, or sorry, typing the price per unit instead of the total price. And so on. So there's a huge variety of events that we want to tackle. And so this table shows the importance that operational risk have, and the relative place of operational risk compared with market and credit risk. So you see, this is a, let's say, for financial institutions, if they separate 8% on capital reserve about so 1.6 will be in on operational risk compared with market risk is 4 times higher, and so relatively 20% of the capital charge go to operational risk. This is just an idea to give you an idea of what's important is operational risk. And of course, what is the problem we're dealing here is the problem of falling asteroids, as Professor also mentioned on Friday, because we're talking about events that happens once in our lifetime, probably. So that's a big challenge of in operational risk. So how to model and how to separate capital charges for this this kind of very rare event, but with a very high impact in the losses. Okay, so what you do is, due to the variety of this kind of events, what Basel II has done first, of course, is to like a taxonomy of all kind of events we can have, and then it's this matrix is built. This matrix is dividing the kind of event, dividing the OR events into different type of this event, 8 type of events, and 7 business lines in a typical bank. So all in all, we have a matrix with 56 entries, and we count the losses for each of these entries, and then we aggregate over the bank to compute the capital reserve, which you might goal in this kind of model. Okay, so just to give you an idea, you see, for example, by type of event, this is what is the part, the relative weight of different type of events in the total loss. This is from an exercise in Europe in 2007, if I'm not mistaken, before the crisis. So you see fraud, internal and external, takes like 30% of these losses. We have a client product and business services execution is also takes a big part of this losses. Well, so what is the evolution in the regulation is typically has gone from setting a fixed percentage of these losses to each of the cells in the OR matrix to be more flexible and allow to banks for internal models for the use of internal models and with under certain circumstances, and obviously what this model has to satisfy is some requirements, and we have among these internal models, one of the most popular ones is the loss distribution approach, which is very similar to what actuarial do. So in a sense that is sometimes called an actuarial approach in the way losses are computed. So what is the problem here? Well, as I said, we have to model the frequency of the losses for each of these cells with a horizon typically 1 year, and also, we have to model the severity of these losses and then compound severities and frequencies in a way we are able to obtain the losses for each of these cells, and then we have to aggregate to for the whole matrix to set this capital reserve. Okay, so typically this is the procedure we carry on. So they have frequency severities, we integrate, and then we compute the OR bar for the losses. So I have to say that is one difference of operational risk, as we are talking about a very infrequent event, is that according to Basel II, the percentile of the risk measures is very high, so it's 99.9, which is a very demanding value for this percentile. Okay, so another requirement of Basel is 3-5 years of data, and of course here we have a problem. We have two conflicting goals, which are the we want the model to be robust, and at the same time we want the model to be sensitive enough to account for possible changes in the parameters in the model. So this is one of the challenge here. Of course, that it requires a tailor-made approach. Okay. So, what kind of data we have? What is the problem? What are the main problems with data? Of course, the main problem is that we don't have data, enough data, to calibrate the model. And what banks are doing, they are using as many observations or information they can get. Of course, they have banks, they have the internal information that obviously they are not very willing to share with other banks. And but they also have to use external data, as for example, coming from consortiums, private database, and so on. Okay. And also, scenario analysis is another way of getting data for extreme situations based on the expert valuations. Okay. So typically, they use the internal data to model frequencies, and they combine internal and external, use external scenario data to model severities. And of course, another important problem is how to calibrate the correlation between different cells. This is one of the more demanding problems here. Well, just to give you an idea of what we are talking about is the number of loss events in medium banks is like 100 cases per year, and but big losses, only 1% of the losses account for 50% of the total losses, or 1% of the events, account for 50% of the total losses. So this is what is what means is that again that we have to look at low frequency and high impact data here. Okay, which are the problems in dealing with internal data? Well, normally it's assumed that all data values come from a particular distribution. Well, of course, you can imagine any sort of problems we can face here when we record this, when these losses are recorded. So a lot of practical problems we can have in the sense of how to, for example, classify these losses, etc. So, and for example, the time that it happens, so we have to account for inflation and so on. Okay. Well, this is a in general internal losses are pose not a big problem. The problem is when you want to use external losses. So external data is a problem because you have to account for the different nature of banks. Actually, you don't know from which bank your banks you are getting this data. And for example, size is very different from one bank to another one. And so also the way banks account for these losses is different. And one important problem here is the truncation level. The thing is that not all losses are reported in external data, so we have to only losses above certain thresholds are reported, and this threshold is usually unknown for external data. Of course, for your internal data, you know this threshold, but for external data, you don't know. Okay, so I'm going quickly over this kind of problem. Okay, so you have to adjust by size, map for internal structures, and so on. Okay, so what dealing with the truncated data is not a problem. It's actually is quite common in statistics, in the sense that what we have to do is that if H is our truncated level, then we have to deal with the conditional probability distribution of the variables. And the problem is when H is unknown, but let's say deterministic, then what we have to do is we have to expand our parametric space and then consider H as a parameter and estimate H from data. When H is stochastic, it's more complicated, but still there are some criteria to deal with this problem. Another problem is the scaling when you use external data. So you have to account for the different exposures, your exposure or your bank, and the exposure of the external institution from which you are getting the data. So you have to, or you can, use certain nonlinear regression model to do that, as for example that one here. Okay, well, so typical methods are when you mix external and internal data, you use standard likelihood method, just taking into account that you have two kind of data. So it's like having a mixture distribution, one for your internal data, another one for your external data, and you then do the usual maximization procedure to estimate your parameters. And okay, so that is a mixing distribution. And typically, what you have is a bimodal loss distribution, in this sense, because you are mixing up external and internal data. Okay, so what about the modeling? So modeling the frequency is not a problem. We have typically a Poisson negative binomial, distribution binomial, etc. And this actually frequencies don't have any major impact in the losses. It's pretty robust with respect to which distribution you use for the frequencies, and the usual test for good neutral fit are used to see whether your data fit with a chosen distribution. Okay, the problem arises, the more difficult problem arises when modeling severity. And of course, we need to consider heavy tail distributions for severities, and until now, there is not a front runner for the which probability distribution you want to take for severity. Actually, it's sometimes it's convenient to use one distribution to model the center part and a different one to model the tail of the distribution of the severities. And again, we have mixing distributions when we do that. Okay. So, for example, one practice is to use your internal data to calibrate one part of the distribution of the severities and your external data to calibrate the indicators. Okay, so here is an inventory of most common distributions in the people using modeling severities. Well, the log normal distribution is the simplest one in my list. And of course, it has a heavy tail and is, as I said, a combination of two log normal distribution seems that is a good practice here, and it's a good trade-off between simplicity and realistic decision. Okay, so for example, this GNH is becoming very popular nowadays. And so let me just show you the GNH distribution here, which is Z is a normal, standard normal distribution. So the A and B are scale parameters, and the interesting one are G, which accounts for the symmetry of the, or rather the asymmetry of the severity, and H, which is the kurtosis of this series. So we can make up for these parameters to get heavy tail distribution. And it's a very interesting class of distribution to model severity. And of course, the one that mix out the usual one, like the Hood method moment and so on. Okay, for example, we can again, mixture distribution, as I already mentioned, and using internal or external data. The problem is with cutoff values that usually are taken empirically by just looking at the empirical distribution of your data, but then you can model something differently again for each part of the distribution. Well, so let's say we have already modeled in a convenient way the frequency and the severity, then we have to aggregate. Of course, we assume independent and identically distributed for each of the cells, so that's why we have created this matrix just to make things more homogeneous within each cell. And then what we want to do is to compute the var, or the C var, for example, for this for a loss expressed in that way. So it's typically is actually, as you know very well, the accumulative distribution function of the loss is given by the convolution of the losses at for n event and conditioning on the probability of observing an event, and so this is the, and then once we have estimated the aggregated losses, we can compute the percentile at this level. Okay. So in general, that several methods is not an easy task to compute the cumulative distribution function of the aggregate. We need there are several methods, some recursive relationship between cumulative distribution function, well, inverse Fourier transform, and of course, Monte Carlo method to do that. Again, the problem with Monte Carlo methods is that they are very costly numerically here, because we have to simulate events that happens very rarely. So it's we'll have to well, depending on the situation, on the cell we are, but the number of simulations are about so more than 1 million simulations to just to get a stable value for the for the value at risk. Okay, well, so that's the these are the requirements of the Basel II. So we have to compute by 99.9% summarizing, and so we have to take a fat tail, and then we have to account for correlation between cells. So this if this is under these conditions, you can use your own internal model if you want to compute the valid at risk. And also in a so once the problem is that it is a recent methodology, we don't have to, the time series of data is not very long, so 3 and 5 years is what Basel allows for, in order to use your internal model. And as I said, I already mentioned that. Okay, I'm sorry, Rudy, how much time do I have? 5 minutes, okay. So the I want to focus on the problem of dependence because I want to talk about the asymptotic method, but this is an open problem now, really. So we want to, we can imagine several sort of dependences between between cells. So far, what people use are copula models to relate to the losses in between two different cells, and copula models on the frequencies. So they assume independent severities, which is an oversimplification, and dependence frequencies, and a copula model on these dependent frequencies, and then they compute the losses based on this on the on this correlation. So that's again that Basel II recommended, and of course the bank must validate its assumptions. Okay, so that's I already mentioned that the, well, the correlation empirically is about 10% of the it's about 10%. Another, for example, an interesting model is considering common chucks. So because so you consider an event that has impact in different cells, especially in different business line specifically, and in that way it's become model dependence between these different severities, if you want to go to severities. Okay, so this is a fractal is one of the reference for copulas, and typically, as I said, student and Gumball copulas are two of the copulas we use. Okay, so one important characteristic that people are computing here, for example, Degan, is the concentration and, of course, the diversification, which is the ratio between the bar of the aggregated loss compared with the individual bars. Because normally, the practice so far is just you aggregate. So you compute the bar for each of the cells and you add up. So usually, it's huge. Actually, we know that the bar is not subadditive, so this quantity may be greater or smaller than one, and this is a quantity you want to compute on top of course the individual losses for each of the cells. Okay, so I would like to mention that this is another approach people are following is using asymptotic methods. And for example, there are first order approximations. You can follow Rossby or Todd Klipperberg and Booker that allows to compute the probability in detail of the aggregate losses based on the probability of detail of the individual severities. And of course, we can do better, and we can take second order approaches, and in recent years, second order approaches have arrived. And you can see a non-exhaustive list. And for example, this paper, you can look at the Abrecher paper and collaborate in 2010. Is a good summary of these applications. And basically, this all these results are based on two fundamental hypotheses. One is the sub-exponentiality of the severities, basically saying that that one of the losses has a major impact in the whole one of the severities has a major impact on the in the whole losses, and then the regularly varying condition, which again that is a condition to get these asymptotic results. Okay, so under these conditions, there are a lot of results. And 2 minutes. Okay, so there are a lot of asymptotic results. Let me mention ours, which is a different approach. We're taking a Laplace approach in the sense that Laplace method to compute probabilities in detail, which is essentially consists in the, realizing that the contribution of this kind of integral is around the maximum value of the function on the region. So is using this approach was easy to compute. We have computed for to a fixed value of n, and then to for a random value of n, we can compute the an approximation for the integrated loss, which works very well. So this is an example. Let me finish with that. And this is a comparison of different asymptotic approach with Monte Carlo. And we have, and that's all. So I don't have to time to talk about the model for credit portfolios, which have a similar characteristic. For example, in Ross, Olivares, and Sachs, we have results that allows us to compute the losses, the probability in the type for large portfolios, but using another approach, which is large deviation results and solid points results, that provides a very good result. Now I finish with just showing you the gain in using the large deviation approach, for example. So this is for Marco. For Monte Carlo simulations, and this is the time that we need to compute the probability with a given error, certain error for using large deviation approach. So we can do better is the thing we just use, which is you use solid point approximation with a little bit of more running time, we can get a better approximation. You see the relative error here. Using the solid point approximation compared with the actual actual Monte Carlo with the 1 billion with 1 billion simulation. So these are the methods. I think it's a promising way to tackle the problem, the use of asymptotic results to compute these probabilities, the volatile risk, and the conditional volatile risk that we have to make as well. So thanks a lot.